makers of Johnson's Auto Wax present their tense travelogue of truth-toppling tales and toe-tapping tunes with Rico Martelli's orchestra, Gail Page, the Three Kings, and Marion and Jim as those ingenious, incorrigible impresarios of the impossible, Fibber McGee and Molly. Martelli leads off by playing Rise and Shine with the Three Kings singing.
Hey, that reminds me, boy. Ever tell you about the time I was doing the sky writing in Wisconsin?
No, and I don't think I want
to
hear it.
I thought you'd like to hear it. Yes, sir. I was the best sky writer into the business. You know, take a fast plane up with a smoke fuse onto it with side slips, dives, climbs, and swoops. I'd write into the sky, dunk your donuts in Davidson's dinette, or plant Pipple Wimmer's perfect petunias, you know. Stuff like that. In letters of smoke, 90 foot high in the sky.
Well, look, what's that got to do
with
this program?
Well, sir, one day a fella come to me, and he says his name is McKinley or O'Connell. Conley. And he says, how much a word, pilot? $100. I snaps back at him. That'll be $400 for writing. Use Johnson's Auto Wax, says he. Yep, says I. Okay, says he then. Here's $400. Write, utilize Johnson's Auto Wax. Shrewd feller, this Keneally, or Conley, or whatever his name. Well, sir, up I goes to 16,000 foot and turns on the smoke. U-T-I-L-I-Z-E, space, J-O, and so forth. Little realizing what I was doing. When I got to the X in wax, I turned my head, and I seen that the wind was already blowing away the word utilize, but I finishes the word wax, and comes down and lands.
Look now, Fibber, this program's
going
on. I mean, we can't.
The next day, I was arrested by the Department of Commerce fellers for obstructing aerial navigation. What's the idea, I says, real indignant. Look up there, they says, pointing. And will you believe it, bud? There in the sky was them 90-foot letters, Johnson's Auto Wax, just as sharp and clear as when they'd left the smoke fuse the day before.
Oh, now listen, Fibber. Don't try
to
tell me
you
that.
You see, Johnson's Auto Wax is so impervious, so sun and rain and wind couldn't hurt Johnson's Auto Wax a bit, see? Which I hadn't realized when I took the job. Yes, sir, they had to call out the state militia to shoot it down with cannons.
McGee, what are you talking about now?
Well, that Rise and Shine piece reminded me of it. Play that, Mr. Marshmelly.
Molly and Fibber are parked along the road, admiring the reflection of the moon on a lake. Some soft music for this, Martelli, please.
a beautiful sight, isn't it, McGee? Isn't it now?
Oh, I don't know. That left headlight bent a mite to the left and...
Oh, not the car, foolish. 'Tis the moon, I mean.
Oh. Oh, sure. Real pretty, ain't it?
Look at the path of moonlight, McGee. Looks like you could walk across the lake right into the moon.
Does, don't it? Come on, let's try it, Molly.
McGee, 'twas always a little crazy you were. Ah, but I like you that way. See your romantic nature.
Remember, Molly, when we used to be going out together? Me sitting like this here, with my arm around you.
Oh, I'll never forget, McGee. 'Twas always full of blarney you was.
Blarney nothing. You was the prettiest one of the lot, Molly. And you still are.
Ah, McGee.
You betcha. Shucks. Every time I used to hold your hand like this, my heart done a dad-ratted karaoke inside of my shirt.
Do you still mean that, McGee?
Forever, Molly. Why, with you sitting here with me, and the moon shining down onto us like that there, I just get kind of all choked up. Molly.
Yes?
Will you give me a kiss, Molly?
McGee. And when did you have to ask? I do believe you still love me.
I'll sock the fellow that says I don't, baby. Come on over close to me, Molly, and put your head onto my shoulder.
Ah, 'tis foolish we are, McGee, sitting here like a couple of young ones sparking, and your heart booming like a bass drum this minute.
Well, I always says I didn't have no control over my heart with you around, Molly. Chuck's letter boom.
But, McGee, 'tis worried I am about you. Your heart ain't acting natural.
Huh?
Why, look, your shirt pocket is palpitating like an accordion.
Oh, shucks. I remember now.
You remember what, McGee?
The frog.
The what?
The frog. I found me a little froggy that was nigh froze to death, and I put him in my shirt pocket to get him warm.
A frog,
yes.
Is it? And me thinking all the time it was young.
Yes.
And with a frog in neither the throat nor the pocket, our own Gail Page extends the sentimental moment with In the Middle of a Kiss. Gail Page.
In the middle of a kiss, suddenly it dawned on me. In the middle of a kiss, I knew you were mine. In the middle of a sweet embrace that I at first resented, remember how surprised we were to find we really meant it. In the middle of a sigh, we stumbled into paradise. In the twinkling of an eye, we lost it again. For we didn't comprehend that our dream of love would end just the way it began, in the middle of a kiss. Funny how it all began. Do you remember? It was in May. To fall in love was not our plan. But something happened to my heart that day. In the middle of a sigh, we stumbled into paradise. In the twinkling of an eye, we lost it again. For we didn't even comprehend that our funny dream of love would end the way it began. In the middle of a key.
Now, before we go on with Fibber and Molly, I'd like to introduce an important guest to you. We have in the studio tonight Mr. B.H. Witherspoon, president of the Pittsburgh Testing Laboratory. I've mentioned this famous organization of engineers and chemists to you before in connection with their impartial tests of Johnson's Auto Wax and Auto Cleaner. You'll be interested to know that this institution has had national recognition for more than half a century for its scientific work on thousands of products in practically every industry. Now, one of the aims of the laboratory is to protect the public in the things they buy. Hence, the products they approve must, under actual test, live up to the claims made for them. And because Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner have passed such tests, Mr. Witherspoon has consented to say a few words. Mr. Witherspoon.
In our studies of Johnson's Auto Wax and Johnson's Auto Cleaner, we spent 6 months testing this method of restoring and protecting automobile finishes under various conditions. We considered other leading methods along with the Johnson method on the basis of time and labor saving, effect of the cleaner on the finish, resistance of the wax to dirt, dust, and weather, and appearance of the car after application. In the course of these studies, chemical analyses were made. Sections of automobile hoods and radiators secured directly from leading car manufacturers with standard finishes upon them, were made especially for test purposes. Accelerated weathering and exposure tests were made. The finishes were frequently re-cleaned and re-waxed and subjected to outdoor exposure for further observation. Automobiles in Pittsburgh and in 10 other selected cities were cleaned and waxed and put under similar observation. We're prepared to say, as a result of these studies, that Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Johnson's Auto Wax fully meet the requirements of a method for restoring and protecting a car finish. We were particularly impressed to find that after 87 applications of Johnson's Auto Cleaner to the test panels, that the finish on the panels was still in good condition. This is equivalent to several times the amount of cleaning the average car would receive in a lifetime.
Thank you, Mr. Witherspoon. And now, Marcelli and his men rollick through a bit of a sparkling melody titled Polly, with a gentleman named Charles Wagner doing a Jimmy Braddock on the xylophone. Process, copyright registered, we zip out to where Fibber and Molly are bowling along Highway 79, looking for a hotel in which to spend the night.
miles we've come without seeing a highway marker.
Oh, shucks, that ain't nothing.
Nothing, ain't it? Well, when a woman ever gets to be president of the United States, we'll have some good roads. Mark my words, McGee.
I'll mark your words and you mark my roads. Don't you get it, Molly? I says you mark
my... Ah, ain't funny, McGee.
Okay. But what makes you think a woman will ever get to be president? She'll never get there on my boat. And besides...
Well, there's a little hotel, McGee. Pull up.
Okay. Get them brakes fixed.
And listen here, that's another thing. If there was a woman president, McGee, there wouldn't be allowed the shrieking of brakes in the middle of the night. There'd be peace and quiet.
Sure. Peace and quiet. And the Army and Navy walking around with lace collars onto their uniforms.
McGee, I'm sleepy. Let's go in and see if we can get ourselves a room.
Okay, but I'm telling you, Molly, a woman president...
Come on, McGee.
Hello there, folks. What can I do for you?
We'll be wanting a room for the night, if you please.
All right, just sign the register.
Hey, now, hey, well, wait a minute, Molly. What's the rate, mister?
The rate?
Yep.
Double room, that'll be $3. Rates are double, $3 and up.
Up where?
Just up, foolish.
That includes meals, don't it, of course?
No, but the coffee shop will be open in the morning at 7. Breakfast at 15 cents and up.
Real uppity around here, it seems like. I suppose the elevators are 5 floors and up.
McGee, will you stop your chatter and sign the book? I'm sleepy.
That's a very comfortable room at $3.
Well, shucks, it ought to be. You ain't familiar with the theatrical rates, I suppose.
Well, yes, in a way. Are you theatrical?
You'd be surprised, mister.
Well, may I see your equity card?
My which?
Don't you belong to some theatrical organization?
He's a past master of the International Society of Gallery Hooters.
Well, I ain't in the theatrical business exactly, brother. Circus man myself.
Come on to bed, circus man. The gentleman will give you 3 rings in the morning.
Well, if you're from the circus, I guess I can give you a theatrical rate. 2.5.
This was a 5-ring circus, brother. Could you make it 2.25?
You know, I used to sort of hang around the circus myself. Which one were you with?
It was a flea circus. And McGee had the back scratcher concession.
It was nothing of the kind. It was the Sagenhack outfit. You see, brother, I used to be a cat coaxer.
Cat coaxer?
Well, that's what us in the business called lion tamers.
Oh.
I had to give it up.
Oh, nerves, huh?
Yeah. But not mine. It was the lion's nerves that give way.
Oh, dear.
Got told they were so scared of me, nobody could do nothing with them. Well, every time I went past the cage, even, they'd tremble and shake like they had a chill. So I got up a canarial act.
Canarial? With canaries?
Oh, shucks, no. Canarial was a combination act with a cannon and a trapeze. Cannon and aerial. See, sir?
I don't get the idea, I'm afraid.
Well, I ain't surprised. I'm the only one that ever done it. Used to call me Marvel McGee, the miracle man of the Midway.
Sure, but he started wrestling with the human skeleton and got fired for rolling the bones during business hours.
That's nothing of the kind. You see, brother... Say, that's a nice-looking cigar you got there.
Have one?
Well, I don't care if I do, now that you mention it.
Oh, McGee, aren't you ashamed?
I'll tell you better after I smoke. You see, brother, the way my canarial act was worked was this here. I'd get shot out of a cannon up to the top of the tent and grab onto a trapeze that was swung out, timed perfect to meet me. Then after a few hand catches, triple flips, and corkscrew twists, I dropped graceful as a swan into the net, bounced up onto a horse's back that was galloping around the ring, and wind up by leaping off on a springboard over 8 elephants.
What, no loop-de-loop?
Well, only on Sundays and holidays. Yes, sir, brother. I was the talk of the circus world the season I done the act as Marvel McGee, the miracle man of the Midway. That is, till I got accidentally promoted.
Accidentally promoted?
Yes. You see, I'd been shot out of this here cannon 3 times a day for 22 weeks.
Yeah, the only man who ever got fired every day and kept the job.
Who's telling this, Molly?
Go ahead, McGee.
Well, sir, one hot summer day, we was playing Cedar Grove, Wisconsin.
That's the same day our opposition, the big Bingling and Barley show, was playing Day and Dateless. Chuck's was quite a rivalry between us then, and we had to put on our best show to beat Bingling and Barley.
But Bingling and Barley had the greatest show on earth, they tell me.
That's what they thought. The only thing they lacked was Marble McGee.
The midget mug of the monkey king.
The miracle man of the Midway. Yeah. You see, Bingling and Barley had made me several offers through young Bingling himself. But shucks, I was loyal to the old second hack outfit. But just to show you what lengths them circus owners will go to put on a show, they bribed my helper to put a double load of powder into my cannon. A double load, mind you, without my knowledge.
Yeah, well,
they was just trying to outdo the Bingling and Barley outfit. They didn't mean no harm to me. It was just thoughtlessness. Well, sir, come time for my evening performance. And the band started playing my entrance music.
Smoke gets in your eyes.
Well, sir, as I stood there into my glittering spangled tights... Well, what's the matter with you, Molly?
You in tights, McGee. Say, mister, he's so skinny he'd fit in the flute.
Well, I have kind of shrunk some since then. Well, sir, I give a look at my cannon. Pretty as you ever see it was, too. All shined up, flickering a whistle with...
Machine oil?
Nope, it was...
Gun grease?
No, I tell you, it was...
I know, Johnson's Auto Wax.
What are you doing in this hotel, Harpo?
Well, what happened with the overcharged cannon?
Well, sir, I never thought to examine the load of powder, having such confidence into my helper, so I just kisses my hand to the crowd and slides into the muzzle of the cannon feet first.
Oh, you was muzzling in, wasn't you?
Don't be joking with me down here in this here cannon, Molly. Well, sir, I waited for the boom of the explosion and got ready to grab the trapeze, and then it comes. Up I went like a streak of light.
Hey, you're off of the cannon now, McGee.
Oh, yeah. Up I went like a streak of lightning. I knew immediately the charge had been too heavy, and as I ripped through the top of the tent, I begun to wonder where I was going to land. I flew over the city hall, the public library, the high school, and the Methodist church, and begun to see I was headed straight for the opposition lot, Bingling and Barley tents across town. I kind of chuckled to myself as I waved a sparrow or two out of my path. Well, sir, down I come. Whizz and rip. Right through the big top. Just as the trapeze was swung out for a performance, I grabbed it, did a quadruple flip-flop, bounced down into the net, leaped six elephants, rode a horse through a flaming hook, and cartwheeled over to the pay wagon where I apologized for ripping it.
Well, what did Bingling say? Was he pleasant?
Pleasant? Why, shucks. He rushes up to me and slaps me on the tights. And he says, Marble McGee, he says, you're hired. Name your own salary, he says.
Is that so?
I worked with him till he retired from the circus business years later. Great guy, Bingley.
I'm glad you think so.
Why, brother, you know him, do you?
Know him? I should. I'm Bingling.
Young Kikita, bet you'd like to be, yes, you'd like to be in the heavenly arms. Ring on, the waiters. And then a little later, you'll go silly for their Castilian talk.
Caliente.
Show me a girl or show me a lad who wouldn't be glad to join the Caliente merry-go-round.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was Martelli and his men, plus those gay caballeros, the Three Kings, being hot to Fibber and hot to Molly, with the chorus of In Caliente. You know, Mark Twain was wrong when he said everybody talked about the weather, but nobody did anything about it. We, and by we, I mean the Johnson Wax people, have done something about it. To any of you who've scrubbed, rubbed, and struggled with ordinary auto cleaners to restore the finish on your car, the new Johnson's auto cleaner comes as great news. For the principle is entirely new. It's easier and quicker to use, saving both time and muscle work. And Johnson's Auto Cleaner positively will not injure the finish in any way. And once the car is cleaned, let me add that the modern, quick, and efficient way to protect the finish from grit and dust and from the weather is to give it a glistening armor of Johnson's time-saving, car-saving auto wax. This unique new high-quality wax is soft enough for easy application, yet when it dries, the flint-like surface defies the elements that ordinarily ruin the finest car finish. And let me remind you again that a gleaming coat of Johnson's wax not only gives you a car to be proud of, but also increases its trade-in value and saves many car washings. And here's some good news for you. If you act at once, your regular Johnson's wax dealer or filling station will give you free one regular 40-cent can of black touch-up enamel with every purchase of Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner at the special discount price of only 98 cents. This same offer at the same price is also good in Canada. Now, if you ordinarily have your car waxed at a garage or service station, be sure to specify Johnson's Auto Wax and Cleaner. Forget, folks, that...
Say, I'm glad you said that there about don't forget, Harpo.
Harlow.
Well, I'm kind of hollow myself. We'll go out and eat together.
I get it.
But I'm glad you reminded me.
Of what?
That next week, I'm going to tell about my mule, Salome, that I used to have. Salome, the mule with the educated ears.
I get it. And you say I reminded you of her. I resent that.
Fibber McGee, come back.
Okay, I was just trying to help Harpo here.
Well... Apparently, friends, next week we'll hear about this educated hybrid with the collegiate oral appendages. Ears to you, and ears to you again, till we meet on this same old killer cycle next Tuesday at this same hour. Until then, brighten your days with the thought that your car is brightened with Johnson's Auto Wax. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking. They tell me, good night. This program came to you from our Chicago studios. This is the National Broadcasting Company.